Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and welcome back to Prophecy. Today, we move into the second half hour. Remember, I ask for 90 minutes. If you'll give me that, I'll give you the world with our broadcast partners, looking at current events in light of a biblical prophecy. We're going to Winky Medad right now. He lives in the center part of the state of Israel in a very historic biblical location, Shiloh, the location where Joshua brought the children of Israel, put up a tabernacle, had the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place in the tabernacle. That was for 350 years the center of all of Jewish activities in the promised land that God had given to them. Well, it's a center of controversy. We understand that as the new president has come in to his place there at the White House, somebody in his administration decided they wanted to change the information as it relates to the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. So it said it's now the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem for Israel, for the Palestinians, and for the Gaza Strip. Not too long after somewhat of a rebellion, I guess, from those who are much concerned about what you say about Israel, that was overturned, and I guess it's right back the way it was and has been for years. Winky, looks like that the Biden administration is going to have a different relationship with the Jewish state of Israel. And I gave that example there. But I wanted to ask you, as a member of the body politic of the Jewish state, to give us your observations. First of all, how is Israel going to greet Joe Biden as the new president?
Well, Jimmy, Israel has greeted Mr. Biden already. I think both the president, Reuven Ruvi Rivlin, and the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, have sent their greetings and hopes for his success, stressing, and this is the major point, that Israel and America, since 1948, have always been partners, no matter if they were ups or downs. And this is not only because of the traditional favorable attitude of the United States. I think it was first incorporated in a 1922, in other words, almost, what was that, 99 years now, resolution of Congress looking with favor on the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine. So this has been a nonpartisan issue that America has looked upon for its ethical, moral, and I think even religious basis that Jews should return to the land of Israel. Of course, we've had problems with this president, that policy or this policy. There have been Republicans and Democrats in power in the United States. There have been Likudniks and Laborites in the power in Israel. But I think the overwhelming majority of the relationships, whether they're scientific, social, economic, environmental, etc., override all the political issues. Of course, on major issues of Israel's security, military needs, and confronting, for a short word, Arab terror or violence, these are issues which sometimes we argue about, but we usually come to some sort of modus vivendi, some way of getting around it. And I hope that will be the situation with the Biden administration, despite certain of the problems I think we've talked about even last week.
And as the Jewish people in Israel greet the new president of the United States, Joe Biden, they in some ways are saluting the former president, giving him a thank you for all that he did for them. I'm talking, of course, about Donald Trump. The fact is that they're naming cities after him. He was responsible for making Jerusalem the political capital, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the peace plan with the Arab nations. So there is something for the Israelis to salute as it relates to the outgoing president, isn't there?
Israel maintains contacts with all members of the government, whether in or out, as well as, of course, all the senators and the congressmen. This is the way nations do business. I don't think Greece, England, or France do it any better or differently, I would say. I think definitely we do it a lot better. But in the essence of relationships between nations, this is what is done. I can also tell you, Jimmy, the United States also does very good work here in Israel, both politically and otherwise, so that there are two sides to that coin. Of course, the expression of gratitude, I would say, for the Trump administration, which extends to Mike Pence, to Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, and of course the Ambassador David Friedman, was honest, genuine, and effusive. Because, as you said, Jerusalem is recognized. The embassy is there, Golan Heights. The element of his Peace for Prosperity plan, which recognized possible Israeli sovereignty over parts of Judea and Samaria, and I won't get into the details, was also amazing and very, very well thought of, as well as the Abrahamic Accords. So we will be maintaining contact with all these people, whether they're out of office, and with the Biden administration in office, whether they're pro or, shall we say, lukewarm to certain of Israel's interests. And in this instance, of course, I'll point only one direction, Iran.
And time will tell how those relationships continue on, or, you know, they curtail the relationship or whatever is going to happen. We'll be talking with Winky Madad, of course, to stay on top of that throughout this next year, and basically the four-year administration of Joe Biden, should it be that long. Well, Winky, last evening I was reading in my quiet time, that's a time when I read the Word of God and have a season of prayer. I was in 2 Kings reading about Hezekiah and the tunnel that he was able to build, a very great engineering accomplishment, which was very practical as well, a project that would bring water into the capital of the Jewish state at that time, into Jerusalem. There is a project now that's going on. They're about to finish. Can you tell us about that water project and how it is very connected to the Hezekiah Tunnel project as well?
Well, Jimmy, if I could also give an additional spin, researching and reviewing the issue of water in Jerusalem, of course, confirms the ancient Israelite and Jewish presence in the city for well over 3,000 years, because all the elements that have preceded not only this century's works in getting water to Jerusalem, but many centuries previously. Jerusalem has always had a water problem, because anybody who's visited Jerusalem knows it's on a hill, in fact, several hills, and it's on the very edge of the desert. And no matter how much water comes down, you look around, there's no river. We have the Jordan River, and we have a few other streams in the area of Tel Aviv, like the Alexander Stream or the Sea of Galilee. But Jerusalem is high and dry, shall we say. So there's always been an historical problem about getting water to Jerusalem, whether it was storage in cisterns, or Hezekiah's tunnel at the Gihon Spring that brought it from just outside the city walls inside the city walls. And anybody who goes through the Bible knows that there were battles over that. Yoav and other people who tried to break in or tried to defend it. Then we move on to the Hasmoneans, who actually developed, you know, we have a place called Solomon's Pools. I don't want to disturb anybody, but they have very little relationship to the King Solomon, and everything to do with the Hasmoneans, who built waterways and water carriers, which also the Romans improved upon. And then the Turks, and then the British, and they began pumping stations. So if you go to the city of Jerusalem's history with the water, you can find out so many different layers. And this latest attempt to assure the Jerusalemites and Jerusalem get water enough for when we have droughts is very important. And hopefully one day when the temple sooner than later is rebuilt, we'll be needing a lot of water for all the various sacrifices and cleansings and washings that go on at that time.
Very interesting that indeed, similar to Hezekiah's tunnel, the Israelis today had to build a tunnel through some of those mountains you were talking about that do indeed surround the city of Jerusalem. And so that was a very similar engineering feat that they were able to do over the last 9 years, just about completed. And that water, interestingly, again, you were talking about Hezekiah's tunnel feeding into the Gihon Springs. This new tunnel will do something very similar, bringing water into the Gihon, which is mentioned in the Bible. Over there in Genesis chapter 2, where it talks about the river, the Gihon, by the way, is one of those four, but only one in the city of Jerusalem, in the Garden of Eden at that time. And of course, many Jews and the Muslim world as well believing that the center, indeed, of the Garden of Eden was there at the Gihon Springs. So, very interesting conversation we're able to have with Winky Madad. Winky, I thank you so much for being available. You always give us the great history, bringing us through the centuries, 3,000 years of history. It's very important as we think about, especially this project, this water project. People need water, and that's a major component of the needs of all those in the Middle East. So it's a very important commodity that everybody wants to have. Thank you, Winky. I appreciate it so much. We'll have another conversation down the road.
Jimmy, once again, thank you very much for having me on the program, and goodbye to you and our listeners.